Okay. All right. Cool. Everyone hear me? Let's just open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we once again come before you, I would just thank you for the day that you've seen fit to give us, Lord, as we know that every day is a gift from you. And just as we continue forward, Lord, I just pray that you just might just bless what I've prepared, and you just might pray that people just get stuff out of it. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I first, as I always do, started with, what on earth do I want to speak on? And I originally had one kind of character study I wanted to do before. I kind of didn't want to go with that after some just reading personally. And I've just kind of been reading through the book of Judges in my own life. So I decided to go with something from there because that's where I've been reading. So I decided to preach on Gideon and just what happened there. But first, I just want to go to, for a little bit of context, I want to go to Joshua 24. So this is towards the end of Joshua's life, and they had made it to the promised lands, and they're conquering in the promised lands. And this is what Joshua 24, 14, by the way. And this is what Joshua has to say to the children of Israel. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed.
I'll
just read all of it. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an unholy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you, after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Okay, I think I'm going to stop there. So here we see that very clearly, you know, the people of Israel, they said that they would follow God and no other. And however, we know from Judges that it's just a continual cycle of Israel falling away, God delivering them through Judges, and then, them falling away again. And that is a cycle that continues for about 300 years until the establishment of the kingdom under Saul. And I just want to look at Gideon. So just kind of with that backstory, I'll get to my main portion of scripture that'll be in. So Judges 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite. Sorry, I probably butchered that. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet an Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Okay, I'm going to stop there for now. So once again, this kind of just gives, you know, so that just says that Israel had, once again, after 40 years, had fallen into apostasy and had started serving foreign gods. And so because of this, the Lord gave them into the hand of the Midianites. A people who, while they had been wandering, they had actually defeated the Midianites and the Amalekites and had driven them out of the promised land. And so Israel, again, then Israel, strong, they had God at their backs compared to Israel now, where they had fallen into apostasy And now God was not with them, and Midian was now oppressing them as God's judgment. So much so that they were hiding in caves and in mountains when the Midianites came. And it says that there was just so many of them that it was like a plague of grasshoppers or locusts, and that's how, again, that's just how many people there were. It's a staggering amount. I don't think any of us can fully think of seeing that. I mean, all I think of is like a football stadium. You have so many people in there that it's just like, I don't know. You have a bunch of, yeah, just a lot of people. And they would take all of Israel's food as they grew it. And so Israel cried out because they were oppressed. And so the Lord sent a prophet, and this prophet is not named, but I mean, that's okay. So he's the nameless prophet. And he sent them unto the children of Israel, and basically to remind them that, hey, you know, remind them of what they did wrong, basically. And just remind them of everything that God had done for them, and that if they would turn to him, that he would do it again for them, and he would bless them again. So that's kind of the first 10 verses, kind of condensed a lot. So then we get to our the main character, I guess, of our passage here, Gideon, which I looked up, and sorry, let me find it in my notes. So I believe like Gideon means to like hewer of wood type thing, which I found interesting, because I mean Gideon would end up hewing wood a lot, and particularly hew the Grove of Baal later on. But yeah, so that, I found that to be interesting. But it says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. So generally, when you know you have a angel of the Lord come, that is just, that means that it is the Lord coming down in an angelic form. It's not an angel per se. But it went to this oak, which was owned by Joash in the tribe of Manasseh. And Ophrah of, there's two Ophrahs when I looked it up, because I like to know where things are. I like geography as a kid. So I looked it up, and there's actually two Ophrahs. One Ophrah of the Ophrah of Benjamin, and Ophrah of Manasseh. This was obviously Ophrah of Manasseh, which is about 6 miles southwest of Shechem, they said. And so you have Gideon threshing the wheat by a wine press. And this, again, generally you don't thresh wheat by a wine press, you press wine. But we have here that Gideon was doing this to hide it from the Midianites. And I think it's interesting just how we see the angel of the Lord address him when he appears to him. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He's threshing wheat in the middle of an enemy invasion. Yeah, he's doing a hitting, but yeah, that does take some courage, in my opinion, to do that with the possibility of death. Now, he probably had to do it that way if he wanted to survive, but still. So Gideon, then getting back to our scripture, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all of his miracle, all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So basically, Gideon asked the Lord a question, like, you know, where are you? Like, Midianites are oppressing us, and, you know, we hear of these stories from this prophet and from their forefathers, and where are you now, type thing. And again, the answer to that is, you know, Israel had sinned, and Gideon's own father had a grove of Baal, had an altar to Baal, and a grove close by. So again, that's kind of Gideon's answer there. But we also see here that Gideon knew the old stories, he knew how Israel should have been acting here. And you see a bit of a confession of his faith, almost, weak though it may be at this time. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So the Lord basically tells Gideon to go and to go fight the Midianites, and that he would be with him. And Gideon's like, but I'm just one guy, and to boot, you know, I'm just also like I'm the least in my father's house and in the smallest tribe in all of Israel. So again, showing that, you know, in the notes from a previous speaker, I kind of have these two verses bracketed, and it's Gideon's confession of weakness. And so Gideon, which I think we all feel at different times, it's only natural, you know, when we're facing trials and struggles to feel like we can't handle it. But what does the Lord say? And the Lord said, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite Midian, the Midianites, as one man. So it's always important just to remember that we always have God with us, and he's always by our side, even when we think he might not be listening. Okay, let me find my spot here. Sorry. Okay. All right. So verses 7, I'm going to go over, verse 17. I won't read it, I suppose, but just looking through it. So Gideon then asks for a sign that it was truly, you know, is it truly God who's talking with him? And he goes and he prepares a goat, or a kid, a goat, and unleavened cakes, an ephah of flour, which in my Bible it has one bushel, or three pints. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't look it up, but I just kind of trusted what was in there from my footnotes. And he prepares some broth as well, and he takes it to the angel of the Lord, and just does what he commands of it. So the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Again, this is important for a number of reasons. Number one, again, it's a offering to God. It's us that Gideon gave him. And it also proves that it was, in fact, an angel of the Lord, or the Lord. Because, again, he doesn't take it and eat it as a man would. But he offers it up and lights it up, and he puts it on the rock. Yeah. So, and I just think you see it, and you have the Gideon seeking a sign. And I think oftentimes in our own lives, again, when things are going rough, we can seek for signs in our own life, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But ultimately, we have the benefit of having God's word as well. So I think at times we can almost try being testing God, like, hey, God, if you give me this sign, then I'll do it. When in fact, we just need to trust God and just do it. Now, Gideon's circumstances were slightly different, and God did this to help Gideon's faith and help prop up his faith. And we see that when Gideon perceived that this was the angel of the Lord, he expected to die. He expected to die. Because he's like, I've seen God face to face, and you know, surely I'm going to die now. Because, again, Gideon knew he was a sinful man. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Now, God was gone by this point, so I assume, or the angel of the Lord had departed by this point. So I assume that it was only just a voice or something that he heard, which could be scary in and of itself. But again, just that phrase, you know, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And that's a reoccurring thing that God will say many times throughout his scripture, and it just reminds me of the peace that we get from God, and how if we're following him and if we're doing what he wants us to, we truly don't have to fear. It was brought out that, you know, on Wednesday night, that, you know, we should have fear and reverence towards God, because he is the one that ultimately will decide our fate at the judgment seat, if we know him or not. And it's reflected in the fact that Gideon builds an altar afterwards and calls it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it calls it Jehovah Shalom. And it's roughly translated to English as the Lord is peace. So again, I found that to be interesting as well. Okay, so kind of moving to verse 25. Then you have... And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, but that he did it by night. Again, we kind of see here that the very same night the Lord goes and tells Gideon to go burn down the grove of Baal, and to knock it down and everything, and to cut down the grove nearby. And just I don't know, more backstory, and again, because I enjoy looking into this sort of stuff, but Baal himself was a Canaanite god, and a Phoenician god, and often he was thought of as the king of their pantheon of gods. And so he, I don't know, again, so it's just a direct kind of smack in the face that they're worshiping Baal. And honestly, Israel, this particular god in general, Israel went and worshiped him many times. And there's different variations that people put on Baal. But again, generally, it's not good, basically. I did look into kind of what it was, and it was child sacrifice was a form of worship to Baal, among other unsavory things. So, and we see again, just from verse 25, that he had this altar right in his father's house, basically. And it said that his father had it. And this, again, just shows the spiritual degeneracy of Israel at this time. And yeah, so Gideon is ordered to cast it down and then build an altar to God. And and he does it, as we see in verse 27. But he did it by night, possibly, again, he probably was afraid of the consequences slightly. I mean, as we see, the men of his village came and threatened death to him for it. I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself, though, so I guess I'll read that. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." And then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." So again, the response was to kill Gideon. That's what they wanted to do. His father comes to his defense, however, and is like, "Is Baal a god or not? Like, if Baal is this god and you believe he's so powerful, then let Baal take care of him." And again, I think that it's important in our own lives, and just to take a stand for Christ, and just let our convictions be known, and that's just that the Lord will protect us as well. Is kind of just also what I wanted to take from that. And it's also interesting to see, because again, you see two sacrifices were offered there by Gideon. And at least that's the commentary I consulted, said the two sacrifices were offered there by Gideon. One, because Gideon was acting in a priestly role almost, so it brought forth that one sacrifice was offered for Gideon, his own sins, and then one was offered for the people to take care of their sins before going to deal with Midian first. Which, again, just kind of brings home the point that a lot of times we need to make sure that we're walking right with God first, and make sure that our walk is good with God before necessarily we can go and do what he wants us to do and be effective for him. Time is rapidly getting away from me. So I don't know if I will go on. I think I'll end it there. Sorry, I kind of stopped off right in the middle there. But I guess I know what I'm speaking on next time I speak. So let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, I would just pray that we just might be good testimonies for you, Lord, as the world is not getting any better, Lord. It's not a nice place for Christians. And just pray that you might be our shield, Lord, and that we might put our faith and hope in you. And I also praise you just for being the great God that you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.